Church, you can have a seat. There's some of you who are new here, and I'd like to particularly welcome you. I've met most of you, but if I haven't, Ross is my name. I'm the pastor here. So welcome to you. Welcome to those online. It's a wonderful day to celebrate our King. He's alive. Amen. We're going to look at John chapter 11. This is the account of Lazarus. So if you turn there. I'm going to be reading from verse 17, but I'll give you a little bit of context before verse 17. There was, like I said, this man named Lazarus. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. This man, Lazarus, was sick, and the sisters had sent for him because of the fact that he was sick, knowing that Jesus is the one that heals, and Jesus, he delayed. He delayed 2 days before he came. And so in verse 17, I'll pick up. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just ask you would simply touch this word, Lord. You would anoint it. And Lord, we would know the fullness of everything that you've done for us, Lord. Release your power, release your anointing in Jesus' name. So, to begin with, when Martha came out to meet Jesus, in verse 21, she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So, initially, this woman had unmet expectations with Jesus. She had seen everything that he had done. She had seen many of the miracles, many of the healings that had taken place through Jesus. So the expectation was, as he was called for, he would come immediately. Lazarus would be healed. But Lazarus wasn't healed and Jesus didn't come because he delayed 2 days. And by the time he got there, 4 days had passed and Lazarus had died. And Jesus responds to her in response to that. He says, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Eventually, Lazarus was raised. Supernaturally, by the power of God, this man was raised from death to life. And that is a hope and that is a promise for us today. Those of you who are Christians, we have a hope today. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ that just as Lazarus was raised from death to life, we too have that hope for eternal life, that we too will be in a place with Jesus in heaven for eternity. And that is the good news of the resurrection, that we not only can live now, but we have a life evermore with him. And I want to just share with you why that is possible. Why is it possible that we will be resurrected? Because we know and we celebrate today the fact that Jesus, yes, he died, yes, he buried, he was rose again from the dead. In that place when Jesus was entombed, he was in that cave, he was locked by that heavy stone, everything looked hopeless. Satan thought he had won. He thought Jesus was defeated. It looked completely over by all accounts. He thought he'd won, but it wasn't over because Jesus never sinned. Death couldn't hold him down. He rose again to life. We serve a living God, but we serve one who was sinless and blameless. So death could not actually hold him down. Death completely had lost its sting over him. See, it wasn't over. There wasn't over for Jesus, just as it wasn't over for Lazarus, just as it isn't over for us today, that we too have a living hope in the person of Jesus Christ. You and I have that living hope right here, right now. So as a Christian, we don't actually have anything to fear. All fear stems from fear of death. But you and I, we know, because of what Jesus has done, we know where we will be going. We know the hope that there is for you and I. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 to 23, it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man also," Jesus that is, "came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming." So there it speaks about the first fruits. And that speaks of like when, you know, you plant something. It could be maybe an olive grove. It could be cucumbers, tomatoes, whatever it is. And the first fruit that comes, so it's the tomato, it's the vine. That first tomato that appears on that vine is the first fruit. So you know whatever comes after that first tomato is going to be exactly the same. It's going to be another tomato. So just as Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, he's the one that never, he died, but then he rose again, never to die again. He is the first fruits. And that is what we will follow. We will follow the pattern. That is our guarantee that Jesus died, rose again. He is the first fruits of what we will follow into. He is the guarantee for us that we too will live forevermore. So like I said, we don't have to actually fear death. We don't actually have to fear where we're going because we know eternally we are secure. You and I are eternally secure. Death has lost its sting. It has no more power over us. We know where we're going. We know that heaven is settled through what Jesus has done for you and I. It's settled through his blood. In 1 Corinthians, over the page, in same chapter 15, verse 50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren," this is Paul speaking, "that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?'" So our mortal bodies, these bodies that are going to perish, are going to be replaced. We're going to get an immortal body. Immortal, one that doesn't break down, one that doesn't sweat, one that doesn't do everything else that comes from a mortal, corruptible body. We're going to have an immortal one, one that never perishes. We're going to actually be renewed as we enter into heaven. Just as Jesus was glorified, you and I will too be glorified. And that's good news for us. That is our hope that you and I have today. And we celebrate that. We celebrate everything that he has done for us. And furthermore, if you're someone maybe today listening to me who doesn't actually know or is secure in where you are going, that is for you today. You can actually receive that eternal life. You can actually receive everything that Jesus came to offer mankind, everything he came to offer humanity through his sacrifice, through him laying on the cross and taking our sins for the punishment that we deserved and receiving forgiveness for that. You can receive that today. You can receive too that eternal life, that you don't actually have to fear where you are going, because the alternative is hell. But hell was created for Satan. Hell wasn't created for mankind. God loved the world that he gave his one and only son for us, so we could be in that place of fellowship with him forevermore. In that place of heaven, there will be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more rejection. There'll be no more pain in our body, physically, emotional. In that place of heaven, we're going to be in the presence of God. It's going to be a place where we're glorified, where we meet Jesus, where we see him in all his glory, magnified, lifted up, and we'll be in that place for eternity, church. We'll be there for eternity with him, with the Lamb of God. But you know what? That's eternally. But I want to tell you that that eternal life that Jesus has promised, that he's gone before us with as the first fruits, that eternal life, that's for us here and now. That life that Jesus has given us is for here and now. Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother," in verse 23, "will rise again." Your brother will rise again. See, Martha's response, she says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." In other words, she's saying, "Yeah, I know, I believe what you're saying. When you come back, when you return for the saints, he will be resurrected, he will be raised up." But Jesus is talking about something else. He goes on to say that "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." See, Martha, she believed in resurrection for later, for when we die, but she didn't have a present day faith. Jesus says, "Now, I am the resurrection and the life," the here and now. He says, I'm the source of that life for you, right here, right now. Yes, in eternity, but here and now, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it you abundant life. And that life that he's given us through his Holy Spirit, that's the life of God in us, that we can have, that we can receive, that we can walk with. So you might be someone from time to time who's down, but you're not out. You're not out because we have the Spirit of God living in us. That life, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. That resurrection life lives in each and every one of you. So like I said, if you are down, you're never out. God is going to raise me back up again. Just as Lazarus was raised up again, Jesus said to Martha, Lazarus is going to be raised up again. And you and I can be in, you know, day-to-day different circumstances where we actually need that power working within us. Thank God that we don't actually have to rely on our own strength. We can actually rely on the strength and the power of Jesus working in us. Where we're defeated, Jesus, come and raise me up. Where relationally we're broken, maybe with sons and daughters, maybe with husband, wife, we have that life living in us, that resurrection life. That's the life that Jesus came to give us, that we can have in everyday situations, that whilst we might be down, God's going to raise us up just as like he did with Lazarus. And that's a powerful word, that word again. Lazarus was raised up again. The prodigal son, when he came back, the father said, my son was dead, but he's alive again. We too can have life again, resurrection life in everyday circumstances. Maybe it's our health where we're suffering. That life, that resurrection life is for here and now. It's not just for eternity. That's the life of Christ in us. It's at work in us to raise us up again. It's to do it again and again and again until Christ takes us home. It's not a one-off. And I want to tell you, that is what hope is. That's the hope that we have. And I want to give you a definition of hope because Jesus is our living hope. He is in heaven. We have our passport to heaven. And hope really is a confident and unwavering expectation of good. You and I have that hope eternally with him. But here and now, we have a hope that whatever happens here and now, that God doesn't allow anything to come to us that he doesn't mean. He allows everything that he wants to get to us. So he's got a purpose in everything. But we have a source. The source, Jesus said, I'm the source. I'm the resurrection and the life. We have a source at work in us to raise us up. Where we may be emotionally damaged, where we've been come out from the world, and we've got things that we need dealing with our minds, strongholds, incorrect thinking. We have the mind of Christ. We have the power of God at work in us that can renew us, that we don't actually have to remain the same. That life, that resurrection life for you and I today is a transforming life. It's to take us from where we were born again to the point where we are more each and every day like Jesus Christ. That is his life. That's what we celebrate today, that he is risen. We too will be risen, but now that life is available, that abundant life is available for us here and now. And that hope is important because the Bible speaks about hope as salvation, helmet of salvation, but it also speaks about the helmet in 1 Thessalonians as the helmet of hope. We need hope. Hope is like optimism. As a Christian, we are obligated to be optimists. It's a denial of the faith to be a pessimist because of everything that Jesus has done for us. So we have this wonderful hope in him for the here and now, for today and tomorrow, that whatever happens, that he is going to raise us up. So when you begin to think like Mary and Martha, like it's over. Lazarus is dead. There's no point showing you where he's hidden. He's in that tomb over there. Where things look hopeless for us. Where it looks like there's no end. We know that God has the final say because just as Lazarus was raised up, God had the final say in that. God did come. Jesus Christ did come and he did raise him up. So in his perfect timing, that is for us today, that just as he was raised up,
It looked like it was over, but God had the final say. God always has the final say, and that we can actually rest and we can trust in Him that He has the final say for us. And in Romans 8:11, it says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So again, I'm emphasizing that this is for here and now. He says there, Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Your mortal body is here and now. That is here and now. This is Jesus, Paul speaking about what Jesus has done for us, that He will give life to our mortal bodies. That life looks like peace and joy in abundance where we didn't have it, where we can actually walk a life knowing His peace supernaturally, knowing His joy supernaturally, that it comes from Him, that actually spiritually we've been made alive, that spiritually day in, day out, we can have that life of His Spirit because it is in us, just as I read out, that life, the Spirit gives life. That's what we have. It's also the quality of life. God's given us through His Son abundant life. That quality of life is for us today. There's a quality and a richness of being in the smile and the presence of God that we receive every spiritual riches, all the blessings that come through Him. So there's a quality of life that we have through Him. Through this resurrection life, there's divine healing, there's strength and vitality that comes through this life, through the life of Jesus Christ. So whenever we're, you know, in that place of hopelessness, we can actually trust that God, You're going to raise me up. I know there's a power at work within me. It's Your resurrection life in me that is going to raise me up. That I don't have to be hopeless. I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to be drowned, downtrodden because, Lord, You are the victory. You've won the victory. That victory is mine by faith. And I can look to You. I can look to You because it's Your power that's going to lift me up. You don't have to face any challenges in your own strength. I said it before. We can actually look to Him. We can actually trust in that power that is at work in us today. That we can have all the abundance of the life of Jesus Christ flowing through us now and eternally, where we'll be resurrected. And you might be someone who, there's two types of people I'm speaking to today. Bear that in mind when I read this scripture. It's in 1 John 5:11 to 12. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So there's two people here today that I'm speaking to. And that scripture refers to those who have life through the person of Jesus Christ. And it says there's another type of person who doesn't have life because they haven't received the person of Jesus Christ. Because it's only through His life that we have life. And it only depends on who Jesus is for you. Lazarus was entombed, and some of you may be in that place today where you yourself are in a place of darkness. He had the linen wrapped around Him, the grave clothes. They represent things of death. Some of you maybe today, you don't know what it is to be in that place knowing Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't received Him, and your life is dark. You feel like Lazarus, like you were in that place that you are entombed, where it's dark, there's no hope. But there is a hope though today. There's a hope for you today that if you actually The Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That actually, if you are listening to my voice and you don't know who Jesus is, that he actually came, that he offered his life for yours. He took your sin upon himself so that you could be forgiven. He took your guilt, he took your punishment so that you could receive his life, his forgiveness, and every blessing that comes with it. If that is you, we're going to, I'm going to have an altar call here. And if that's someone here that I'm speaking to, maybe it's a couple of you, and you want to actually receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to come into that place, the here and now of knowing that life every day and eternally when you die, then I want you to come forward and someone or myself will pray for you. As we worship, just come forward and just receive. Today is a day of salvation. And you and I rejoice in what Jesus has done, that tomb is empty, that he is risen, that he is alive. You and I too are alive. So I want to just pray, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that yours is the victory, yours is the glory. And Lord, we just want to bless you here for what you've given to us, Lord. You've given your life so that we could have life. And Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, that tomb is empty. Lord, that the sting of death is now gone. Lord, you defeated death. And Lord, that victory is yours, the victory is ours by faith. So I bless you for every person here, Lord. And I'm asking, Lord, that those who are down, Lord, that they would be made alive again. Lord, by your resurrection life, afresh, Lord, fill afresh your people here with that life, with that power. We bless you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.